Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius from Kent State University, and today on Counselor Audio Source, Dr. Edward E. Moody and Dr. Chadwick Royal, both of North Carolina Central University, speak about Dr. Moody's work with Cubans and Floridians and hurricane stress.
This is Dr. Chadwick Royal. I am here with Dr. Edward E. Moody. And I was hoping that we could start off with you just telling us a little bit about your training and background.
Well, I've got a PhD in counselor education, a minor in psychology, a master's in clinical psychology, and actually an undergraduate degree in pastoral training. I've worked in alternative schools, mostly in correctional facilities, and also have some background working in churches as well.
Okay. What's your current professional role?
Right now, I'm a department chair at North Carolina Central University, and I've been at North Carolina Central since 1995, so started out as an assistant professor there, and still teach and do research, but also do a lot of administrative-type things as well.
Okay. And you've been involved in a little bit of research lately. Can you tell us a little bit about your current research?
Right now I'm doing a lot of work or a lot of research in Cuba. Started out just looking at the needs of counselors down in Cuba. And then in 2004, they had a fairly bad hurricane season like the rest of the United States. And prior to Katrina, 2004 was the worst hurricane season that we'd really had for a while. And so I've done some research on hurricanes down there, and also at this point doing some research with some of the ministers down there, some of the stressors that they face and some of the problems they encounter.
Okay. How did you get connected down in Cuba? Why Cuba? What led to your trip down there?
Well, I had a missionary in the in my church. His name is Ronald Calloway, and he used to be a missionary in Panama. And I think his dream would have been to work in Cuba. And because of some of the political situation, he wasn't able to do that. But he was able to spend quite a bit of time there. The Cuban government and the U.S. government were able to allow that. And so basically what he was doing is going from the U.S. And teaching at a seminary down in Cuba. And the church I'm at, Tippett's Chapel, is his home church. So he kept saying, you really need to go down there and you need to do some teaching. And you just wouldn't believe how receptive folks are and how interested they are. And how a lot of counseling and psychological related issues would be so valuable for the people down in Cuba. So he kind of convinced me to go down.
And so it was teaching a lot of the members of the clergy, or are there counselors down there?
The first time it was primarily it's always worked through the clergy, but the first time it was kind of like a retreat. And so we had the clergy, we had their families down there, but then probably some other folks from other areas. So we primarily had ministers, but we had physicians, we had dentists, we even had veterinarians, you know. And so we had a lot of different, and some psychologists, a lot of different folks the first time. And then in subsequent trips, it's been mainly the ministers, and probably the next time it may be more of a wider audience. So, we'll just have to see about that.
So you were doing a lot of training on general helping skills?
Yes, general helping skills. And so the first research was what kind of issues do you work with people on, and what kind of counseling information do you need? And actually was the first time was providing that to ministers down there. And then in subsequent trips, providing that at the seminary basically as part of their coursework in, in counseling and how to help people that they'll be working with in the future.
Okay. So in these, the trips to the, in terms of training, whoever was there at your trainings, you mentioned about just collecting some data related to other things about the training itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you made some contacts with people that would help with data collection for other things.
Mm-hmm.
How, I guess what I'm curious about is how they went about assessing people. Once you realized that you know, there was opportunities for assessing, you know, people's reactions to a trauma or the hurricanes,
mm-hmm.
I guess specifically, how did they go about assessing those individuals?
Well, with the hurricane, part of what happened was the leadership of some of the religious leaders were going throughout the country, and mainly western Cuba, the Pinar del Rio province, and they were surveying the damage and trying to figure out what they could do to help people that had been impacted by the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So as they would go, and they would, the focal point was churches in the area. So mm-hmm. they would go to these churches, and they would give them the surveys that we created and ask them to complete that.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what they would do would be make contact with the minister at that particular church and mm-hmm. ask them to pass it out to the different folks there and then come back and pick it up on subsequent visits. So
mm-hmm.
the way that it was disseminated was through basically checking the damage and trying to assess the trouble they had had as a result of these storms
mm-hmm.
that they had gone through. So I guess that's how we collected the data there. And then there are folks from Cuba that visit the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would bring the surveys out,
mm-hmm.
And the rest we would, we have some other folks going in on humanitarian missions,
mm-hmm.
and so then they would pick it up, and then 1 year later, still picking up some of them that
mm-hmm.
were that folks completed on at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. And this, was it a pre-existing assessment device? Or?
No, we had to create one. Had a lot of trouble finding instruments in Spanish. So
mm-hmm.
basically what we looked at was the different stress that folks often encounter when they go through a storm,
mm-hmm.
and had to kind of complete it there and completed it in English,
mm-hmm.
and then had this fellow Ronald Calloway take a look at it and translate it
mm-hmm.
into Spanish, and then took folks in Cuba and had them examine it to make sure it was mm-hmm. Everything was, it was kind of asking for what we wanted to
mm-hmm.
address, and then from there took it and used the seminary, the religious leaders and the students at the seminary,
mm-hmm.
all of them are also ministers out in the community throughout Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And so use the folks in the impacted area to then take it out and
mm-hmm.
administer it to folks.
Okay. You were looking specifically at the stressors that were experienced and potentially their coping skills or coping mechanisms as a result of the stressors.
Yes.
What did you find with respect to those results?
Well, the biggest symptom that the folks in Cuba reported was fear. They went through Hurricane Ivan, Category 5
mm-hmm.
hurricane, and there was a lot of talk about that as it was leading up.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. In some respect, in Cuba, there's, I guess there's 3 television stations, and so everything's, you know, it's hurricane all the time, and
mm-hmm.
it's get ready for the hurricane and what to do about it. So lots of stress about that. And the other part is the houses are so different than we have in Cuba or
mm-hmm.
than we have here in the U.S. So I don't know that I've ever really seen much glass,
mm-hmm.
and so they're really exposed to the storm. So that wasn't too shocking, but that's the number one symptom they endorsed, was a
mm-hmm.
lot of fear
mm-hmm.
as a result of impacting the hurricane. a lot of difficulty sleeping as a result of experiencing it, as well as anxiety. And those were the three biggest symptoms they reported. And I guess we should say that Hurricane Ivan hit Cuba, and after it hit Cuba, it went and struck Pensacola, Florida, and impacted it pretty bad. So the other thing we did was surveyed folks in the Pensacola area of Florida. Mm-hmm. We also surveyed folks in the South Florida and Miami area. Mm-hmm. But we compared those folks, and the people in Florida, their number one symptom was anxiety as a result of the storm. They also indicated difficulty sleeping, and then thirdly, they talked about the fear that resulted from all of that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a neat and an unusual circumstance, because we had a situation where both groups were impacted by the same storm, and, mm-hmm. and that was the other reason why we were so interested in doing the research there in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. So two different groups experiencing the same storms, different times and mm-hmm. the different locations. But I guess it sounded like there were some commonalities with their experiences. It sounded like the rank ordering was a little different, but for mm-hmm. the most part, very similar symptoms. Were there any differences?
Nothing that was really significantly different. Mm-hmm. I guess the biggest difference is the whole difficulty working mm-hmm. aspect. And another example would be like confusion and difficulty getting back on track. There mm-hmm. was much more of that in Florida than there was in Cuba. Now, something to think about with Florida is, especially like Pensacola and South Florida, in 2004, they were struck by multiple hurricanes. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's some research, like I believe one out of every four people in Florida during 2004 had their home damaged. Mm-hmm. So you do have that going on with Florida, and no other state has ever been impacted by more storms than Florida was in 2004, except for Texas, and it was the same number. You know, mm-hmm. they were tied there. So, as you know, it's not exactly equal, mm-hmm. and that is something we can see by looking at the folks there in Florida. Is there was a lot of storm. They were just tired of storms, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Now, something that is interesting in looking at the two groups is the way they dealt with the hurricanes mm-hmm. or their coping mm-hmm. skills. So, the Cubans, over 80%, I think it was like 88% of them, said they dealt with the storm by going to church in the mm-hmm. aftermath. And mm-hmm. you must remember, though, yes, we recruited these folks through religious leaders. But we did the same thing in Pensacola and mm-hmm. in Miami. Mm-hmm. We used ministers to contact their congregations mm-hmm. and to ask their congregations to complete the surveys. And mm-hmm. so it was something like 42% of the folks down in Florida said that. So mm-hmm. I think you could see a difference in the way they dealt with the storm, and you can also see some cultural differences mm-hmm. that are coming out as a result of that. The other thing, just looking at coping strategies, the folks down in Cuba tended to do more active things mm-hmm. to deal with the aftermath. In other words, the second most endorsed item by people in Cuba was getting ready for another storm.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were
very mm-hmm. proactive in that. So they were doing things, busy doing things, and that was a little different than what you saw in Florida. But the other thing to think about is Florida, in the aftermath of Ivan, certainly looked, the damage seemed to be greater in mm-hmm. Florida than it appeared to be in Cuba, you know, mm. when you go down there. Mm. So that could have some impact as well.
So that might be a reflection of why there possibly were some differences in mm-hmm. how well they coped.
And there's something to think about what it's like in Cuba. It's hard to email, but I tend to have contact, once or twice a week from someone in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And after Hurricane Rita went through, I emailed a fellow down there and asked how things were going, and he said things were good, but it was just hot, and they were just having, it was just so hot, and the power, they didn't have much power and so forth. So I emailed him back and said, you know, wow, the hurricane hit you pretty bad. And he emailed back and said, this has nothing to do with the hurricane. This is just the way it is, you know. Okay. And so I think that's part of what's happening as well, is you've got a lot of the difficulties we go through after a hurricane is just this is status quo for folks in Cuba. They're used to not having power. You know, they're used to having trouble getting around. And so it doesn't, it doesn't impact them as negatively as it probably does us in the States.
Okay. Well, I know you've, you know, I guess I wanted to ask a couple of questions related to trauma, experiencing trauma and perhaps grief. And it's along the same line of thought about possible differences and cultural differences. I know you've done quite a bit of work with respect to trauma and grief counseling, at least in the States. And I'm guessing, you know, that's some of what you talked about in Cuba as well. How do you think that perhaps the Cuban population might react differently?
Well, they seem to go through far more trauma and far more, it seems, in some respects, it's similar. We usually are in Miami before we head down to Havana and usually stay the night in Miami. And some folks that are often former Cubans come and give us things to take down there. In the last trip, they brought some specific medicine to us, and we were taking that down. And we were actually taking that to a family that had lost their child. This lady carried a child probably for 7 or 8 months. Well, actually, it was full term, 9 months. And so she was giving birth, and her husband was trying to get help, somebody to take him to the take her to the hospital, and he couldn't find anyone to do that. And so he ended up delivering that baby himself, which died. So he and he had to do all that all on his own, you know, do that at home, do that right there in his house, and I guess was able to take her to the hospital for aftercare. But it's just such so many things like that that are just that people go through because you know they just don't have the resources, you know, that we have in the United States and maybe in other countries. And so I think that helps them, though, when they do deal with the storm, because it's like, well, we're used to dealing with a lot of adversity and a lot of difficulties. So I think it results in a high level of resiliency there. So they deal with things. It's quite different, you know, I think, than we. And another thing just with the whole resilience is you sense like when we go through a storm or something, we're looking for, well, where's the government? You know, where's the power trucks? You know, and where's this? I would say in Cuba, it's what do I need to do? You know, so it's more of a, I think that helps them to be more active and get very busy. And I think it also helps them to be resilient and to cope and come back from storms and tragedy far faster. They're not looking for someone else to come in and do something for them. They sense they need to need to get busy, and I think that actually helps them too.
So they're pretty self-reliant and kind of an understanding that an element of control, I guess, that they're not waiting for somebody else to to do things in their life. They focus on what they have control over, what they can do about it, and tend to get to work.
And when you say self-reliant, not in an individualistic sense, in a community sense. So they'll come together as a group. And, you know, we do that as well. Mm-hmm. You'll hear people say after a hurricane, well, I met my neighbors for the first time. You'll hear that in the United States. Mm-hmm. You would not hear that in Cuba. You know, they know their neighbors and they're used to working together and mm-hmm. helping each other out. Mm-hmm. And I think you especially see that in the church context, that that church is a small community and they're used to working together and helping folks deal with problems and issues. And so we do that to a smaller degree after we go through a storm here in the U.S., but I don't think it is, there's no comparison at all to what they do in Cuba after mm-hmm. they go through something like mm-hmm. that.
So, in your opinion, what do you think we can learn as either people in this American culture, or maybe even as counselors, what can we learn from this, and what could we even apply what this is?
Well, I think as counselors we have to be proactive, and I think as Americans we often have a sense that everything's going to go, we expect things to go well, mm-hmm. and we expect things to go smoothly, and maybe we have expectations that are unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And so often we're disappointed. Mm-hmm. If you compare, it seems like citizens in the United States to folks in Cuba, the people in Cuba seem quite happy. Mm-hmm. I think if we were to transplant U.S. citizens to some of their living situations, I don't think we would see that at all. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it's about expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think as counselors, we have to prepare people for, you know, bad things happen to mm-hmm. people, you know, things break, storms mm-hmm. come. And so I think that's part of our role. And then also, I think there's a lot to them being busy and them working together. So there's probably a sense, well, all we do have is each other. Sometimes mm-hmm. we do not have the materialistic things mm-hmm. that others have, but we do have each other. And so I think valuing family and helping people refocus on what is it that really counts, you know, what mm-hmm. is it that 10 years, 20 years from now, I'm going to look at and say, well, that really matters, mm-hmm. you know. Is it this car, or is it this house, or is it mm-hmm. my kids or my neighbors, you know, the people I have relationships with. Mm-hmm. And so helping folks refocus on those kind of things, what counts, and just dispelling the myth that all goes well, you mm-hmm. know, and that's what we should expect, you know.
Okay. Well, any plans on your returning to Cuba, or what about updates to the data?
Well, they went through Hurricane Rita this past year, but it's more through Havana and different parts of the island. So we'll just see. One of the things with the data is driven by the folks in Cuba, mm-hmm. and often the data is gathered to stimulate what we'll do in the next training sessions. Mm-hmm. During the last trip, we had folks asking a lot about the stress that their ministers in particular experience, and so we created an instrument for them to survey folks with that. So in this next visit, we'll probably look at that mm-hmm. and then ask them, you know, where do we go from here? What is it that we do? Mm-hmm. We may be doing some kind of relationship work with them. It's just hard to say, but right now that's the focus. And so we're looking at some of the ministers in Cuba and then ministers in the United States and trying to look at similar difficulties they go through and different difficulties. And that stuff will pick up, you know, on the next trip mm-hmm. down and, mm-hmm. You know, and just based on what happens in this next training session in the winter that we do.
Okay. Down there. Well, best of luck.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Moody, thank you for your time.
Thank you for the interview.
My thanks to Dr. Edward E. Moody and Dr. Chadwick Royal, both of North Carolina Central University, for speaking with us today on Counselor Audio Source about hurricane stress. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.